Okay, good evening. Good evening. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being here to give this discipleship portion of this course. It's interesting, I was asked about 2 weeks ago on the course, and I thought, yeah, that sounds like a great, that sounds really nice. And I was thinking, like, grace, hope, rejoicing. we have, how do I overcome sin? You know, so this is going to be good. This is good. This is really good. And then I thought a little bit about it, and I guess I'm just going to do a little survey, but how many here battle sin? Anybody? Okay. All right. So most, you know, sort of, so most raised your hand. So then I thought about this, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm feeling pretty good. I said, actually, I'm giving this whole thing in front of experts. Okay. You understand? You got it? So actually, you know as much as I know, so, and more. So anyhow, follow with me on this. This is a good discipleship course that we're going through. Really kind of, for many of us, I'm sure you've gone through it, and it's jogging a few things that you already know, and it's bringing it to your mind and saying, yeah, I know that, I know this, I know that, and you're learning some new things to share with people. But with this particular thing, I found that as I was going through it, and I'm sure you know, you've all been battling sin, you've been doing things, is you find that once you've gotten through the one battle, it's not long the next one's coming, right? How many, honestly, when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ran into a situation where you thought that once I got through this one situation, the bad sin, maybe I'm getting through, and maybe it's anger, or maybe it's just a difficulty that I have, maybe a behavior or something like that, and I get through it, and I think, oh, I'm done. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3 months, 6 months later, a year later, and pow, you get into something else. And it's like, what's this about? And it's consistent. So that's the, I believe more and more as I go through, I'm just kind of yielding myself to that and saying, this is the life. Why? Because we're being formed to the image of Christ. And I'll tell you, I'm far from it. I pray and continue to ask. I want to be more like Him. And it seems like my day as I go, I fail in a lot of ways, but I have a Savior that I can go to every day. But that battle is not going to end. If anybody here is thinking that whatever I'm battling right now, I can't wait till it's over, you're just going to find another battle. You need to know how to battle it and get a hold of it so that it doesn't defeat you. Okay, you can get above this. And that's what I'm hoping this is going to show you. And then also that we can teach other new Christians. And I find a lot of new Christians are failing at that. They're coming in, they want salvation, and we see it. And they're back out the door, and they're losing it because it's sort of like, I tried that. And the battle is hard. I don't know about for you, Janie and I, you know, we go through it, and we think we're getting past it, and then power back into another. And Lord, do we have the strength? And He says, yes, you have my grace. I'm going to help you. Okay? So it's intense. The battle is intense. And one thing we learned that when, as Christians, I'm not going to go back over this, but we know we're new creatures, right? We're new. We've accepted Christ. He tells us that we're new creatures in Him, right? And also we have, but we also have this body. We have this flesh that we have that's on us. And we have a mind that's been tainted, and then some of us have seen things that we shouldn't have seen. Guess what? Those pictures stay with Him, all right? Some of us, we know, we've talked about that. Those pictures that you've had back when you were teens, for some of us that are older, those pictures are still there. And for some, we're still battling it, okay? And for some of the people you're going to disciple, guess what? They're still battling it. And they may have accepted Christ, but they got a battle in their mind that's going on, and they don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do, how to get out of it. And there may be some saying, well, I'm supposed to teach somebody. I'm having trouble with that. Okay, how am I going to do that? Okay, but let's just briefly, I'll walk through this, and hopefully I want to get to the end of this here, and I want to spend a lot more time on how do I overcome the sin, not what it is. I think we all are very familiar with it. But sin is in your outline there, we have, but sin is missing the mark. We know that. It's falling short. Okay, we always use that in our presentation, certainly to unsaved people. It's falling short of the glory of God. So what is sin? It's falling in the mark. Sin is breaking God's law. And if you want to turn, and I'll, pardon me for going to a lot of scriptures, but there's a lot of scriptures in here, and I'll pick and choose the ones I went through this for us. But Let's go to 50, Psalm 51, 4, if you would for me. Some of you already know this. Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. When we sin, we know that we're sinning against God. And a lot of times we sin, we don't care. We think, what do I care? It's not going to hurt you. Well, it does. If it hurts another person, it's hurting God, all of our sin. And you see, a lot of what you're going to find here in overcoming sin is really understanding the truth and knowing or believing what God says about sin. That's what I have found in a lot of cases. If I'm battling something and I just can't get over it, I have not been convinced in my mind it's sin. It's not sinful. Okay? But when we begin to think every sin is against God, no matter what it may be, whether it's what I said out of my mouth, whether it's what I've seen, saw something I shouldn't be looking at, okay, I'm saying things I shouldn't say, I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing, I'm sinning against my God, okay? So I have to put that in my mind. Sin is unrighteousness, that we say, and what is unrighteousness? You can mark this down in your little note, in your notes, but just write down at Galatians chapter 5 that has all the works of the flesh. And that's where it lists down. Those are some of the nice laundry list of unrighteousness, is adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Believe me, uncleanness covers a wide spectrum of things that we can do that's unclean. Okay? Lasciviousness, okay? Lewdness, okay? Towards sensuality. Idolatry, covetousness, you have witchcraft, hatred, variance, reveling, wrath, strife. You have heresies, that's, you know, taking truth and twisting it. You probably know a lot of people that like to just twist truth just a little bit, okay? Envying, we see that a lot, okay? Hatred, murder, drunkenness. Okay, I've had a lot of times we run across, and many of the Christians you're going to find, it's okay for me to drink. As soon as it makes you dizzy, if you want to look up the word definition, you're drunk. All right? And you can use it all day long, and you can convince yourself it's okay. I'm just saying, if you get to that point, it's drunkenness, and that's one of the things of the flesh, work of the flesh. It just is. That's where we have to convince ourselves some things are sin or not. Okay? Sin is anything done apart from faith is unbelief. If you can turn to John chapter 16, verse 7, for me. I just want to... I think I got to get a bigger Bible because I'm having a little trouble reading the one that I have from up here. A little harder to see. John 16:7. It'll take me forever to go through this. Okay. Remember in the Spirit, what does the Spirit convict us of? Nevertheless, I think I had that right. Yeah, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. And you're going to see where really the root of a lot of the sin that we have ultimately is the fact is we don't believe on Christ. I want to say it again. The reason why we're sinning is we don't believe on Christ. Whatever it is that you're battling personally, you really need to go back to that fact. Do I believe on Jesus Christ? Am I believing on what he said and what he's done? Yes, okay, I've accepted him. I believe on Jesus Christ for my salvation. But are you believing on him? You will find that that is probably your biggest root if you lead it back to the sin, is you're not believing on him. Okay? And these are things that we can talk to our to these new converts, because that's the big thing. You've just got them through the door, and they're already accepted Christ for salvation. Now we have to say you continue to believe to battle sin. We don't stop believing just because we have salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. Okay? Saved is delivered. All right? It's the same difference. Okay? It's the same thing. One is through salvation is so that your soul goes to heaven, but the other is to deliver you from sin. We are to be delivered from the power of sin. Okay? There's hope there. The other is it's an issue of the heart. Okay? And if you could go to Matthew chapter 15 with me. Okay, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 20. Now, Pastor Cole has in this sheet, he has 1 Samuel 16, 7 and Matthew 12. But I've just chosen this particular one because I like, because this was also similar to the ones that were in this, but I like these particular verses. It's X'd in mine, okay, to remind me, okay. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. And that's what I have. I actually have it circled in my Bible. You think bad thoughts? Okay. I can guarantee if you have some converts, they're thinking bad thoughts. They've seen things on TV. They've seen things that you and I haven't seen. Talked with some, and frankly, there's sometimes it's like I pray and ask God, help me to help them. I really am not sure how. But they've seen and they've thought things that they shouldn't be thinking. Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are things that defile the man. Where do they come from? They come out of the heart. There again is where this evil is coming from. And so we know also that Christ is seated where? Where is Christ seated? In the heart, right? Paul even prayed that faith, Christ, the faith of Christ would be in the heart, okay? Because that's where it's at. And what is it? That we don't believe on Jesus. And really what it comes to is when we're sinning and we say, oh, I just can't get over this. We're not believing. I hate to make it that simple, but that's really what it comes down to, okay? Why do I sin? I think that's pretty simple. But we have here, you sin because even though you've received a new nature, okay, which actually you've received the Spirit, you did not receive a new body and mind, okay? When you accepted Christ, how many of you got a brand new body? All right? Not too many. I would like to have had a new one. All right? But we kept it, all right? For some reason, we had to keep this body. And God says to us, he says, I've given you a new spirit. So you have a new nature. You have not necessarily a new nature, and I think nature is kind of misused here in some respect, but you're a new creature. When we think of nature, we're really thinking like, and I think this is misleading, and that's why you might want to make a note here. When there are converts and they think they got a new nature, they're being misled sometimes to think, well, I'm totally different. Well, I'm sorry, that moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior, 1 second later, right? You still want to go out and do those bad things, right? When I wanted to drink alcohol, guess what? Or even right after, I still wanted to do it. And I'll tell you, frankly, didn't really want to stop either, you know? Okay, so the things we got to think about here isn't all of a sudden that it was going to be zapped, like all of a sudden now I have this resilience to alcohol, okay? I don't need it anymore. I'm done. You know, all these different things. I'm sorry it doesn't. We still have that nature or that flesh in us, but we have a new spirit. See, we now have, when we receive that spirit, a power that we're going to be able to overcome the sin. Okay? We know that. We have the spirit. We're not tapping into it sometimes when it comes to overcoming sin. All right? We think it's strictly for salvation. I've got salvation. I've been sealed. I have the Holy Spirit. Done. I'm safe. Okay, I'm not burning, all right? I know I'm going to heaven and spend some time with the Lord, right? But it's to help you, deliver you from the power of sin, all right? You sin because your flesh draws you into sin, and James 1:13-5 is every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts. That's in James 1:13-15. He's drawn away by his own lusts. You cannot blame somebody. You cannot blame God. In fact, in those same verses, you can't tempt God. God cannot be tempted of evil, all right? You're doing it on your own. It's a matter of taking accountability for the sin. That's the hard part, all right? We've all been there. Again, it comes back to, will I take accountability? Can I say, I'm the blame? Let's say between, you know, a husband and wife and there's a problem or whatever, can I say, I'm the blame? It's my fault, all right? I do something at work and I'm in a situation, can I walk up and say, you know, I put the part in the wrong place. I'm at fault. I'm the reason why it got in the wrong place, even though I might could lose a job over it, could be whatever, okay? But can we take that accountability? But we're drawn by our own lust. You see, we don't want to be accountable. We don't want someone pointing a finger at us. And believe me, the new convert does it either. Even though they've come to accept Christ and their tears coming down their face and everything else, they're still human. They don't want to be embarrassed. They're embarrassed already about what they've done. I think you already know, if you've dealt with some new people that have come to know Christ, they're not happy about what they did in their past. They're not happy. And they can't erase the past. All right? They're dealing with the fact they have that memory. But now we got to move them forward, okay? And trying to teach them, okay, yeah, this is where you were. Now we have to move you on. And Romans 7, 14, 25, you can just make your note there. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh. Remember, sin is in the flesh. That's what the Bible teaches us. You always hear sometimes, you think about two spirits, you know, we got our spirit and the spirit of God, and they're all fighting each other or whatever. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is teaching here, we have been given the spirit of God, and it's the flesh that we're fighting. We need the truth to help us combat this. It's not this struggle that we think, oh, the spirit's inside and it's fighting with me. No, it's your flesh. You have sin in your flesh that we've inherited that came down from Adam and Eve because of their sin and their rebellion against God. Where it's a spirit in us, a Holy Spirit, that's saying, I don't like what's in you. Or you know, I don't like that flesh or sin that's in you, which is in the flesh, okay? He doesn't like it. And so if you're being tempted and you feel like, I'm always feel I'm under guilt, or you come and you hear preaching, and I see so many that come in and two, three times they hear preaching and it's like, I don't like this condemnation. That's the Holy Spirit speaking, all right? And we need to explain that to the new converts. Nobody's judging you. I'm not judging you. I've got enough pile. I got a baggage of stuff I got on my own I'm dealing with, no more than anybody else's, okay? But that new convert needs to understand that Christ loved them and he died for them. And it's the battle between the spirit and the flesh. That's what they're working. That's the battle. Okay? Don't lose sight of that. And in Galatians 5:16, it says, again, the flesh lusteth against the flesh. Lusteth against the flesh. Just like you would lust maybe towards a new boat. You know, get the money, get the new boat, or whether I gotta have it type of thing. But it lusts after the flesh. And the spirit after the flesh. And it says in Galatians 5:16-17, if you want to make a note on here, it says that ye cannot do the things that you would. That's at the end of that verse. That you cannot do what you would. In other words, you can't do what you really want to do. Why? Because the sin that's in that flesh. Alright? Alright. Be nice. Wish we had time that could have some answers and questions here too, because I think it would be really good. The next thing here is on temptation. If you go to the next second page under C, and it says you sin as a result of temptation. Then we just, if you remember, we talked about the lust. We're tempted because of our lusts. We have desires in us, each one of you and me. There are things that honestly I could walk by day in and day out and it wouldn't bother me at all. It doesn't. It doesn't bother me. But for another person, it would bother them, okay? I might not be sensitive to it, or maybe God hasn't brought me to recognizing sin in my life in that area yet or anything. But remember again with the convert, they're not there yet. And unfortunately, I shouldn't go walking with them, and there's things that they shouldn't do. It's like I was watching something here with Reformers Unanimous. We were kind of looking at that a little bit, and they said that they had people coming to the church and they were smoking. Well, guess what? The number of people that I meet that are unsaved, hopefully going to get converted, smoke. And those are the ones that are going to come walking into the church, and those are the people that need to be converted. And when they're converted, that day, they are still going to smoke. Just the way it is. They have a temptation. They're weak. And so again, when we start to work with them, they need to understand this battle that's going to go on with them, because they're going to sense the Holy Spirit's telling them, stop smoking, this is not right. They're going to feel the conviction. They aren't going to need anybody to tell them. But again, this is showing them how to do that. All right. So In 1 John, if you can please go with me to 1 John chapter 2. You're probably getting there a lot faster than I am. All right. 1 John chapter 2, and I'll just read here quickly. All right. Love not the world. Chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is the world. And the world pass away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh. Okay, those are things that I have put down. If you want to put a little, maybe make a little notation as here is, I need it. I need it. All right, that's really what was happening in the garden. She needed it. She wanted it. She wanted that ability to be greater. She wanted to be somebody. I need it. All right, and that's usually where it starts. That's the sin that's in the flesh. I gotta have it. Point being there, when you're hungry, all right, how many here can usually go 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, and you get to a part, I need to eat. Anybody? I mean, you get to a point, right? I need to eat. It's funny, there's times when I fast. If I start out in the morning and I'm saying, I'm fasting, I'm fine. I can fine drink my water a little bit. I don't think a thing. I hear a little hunger pain, toss it up to the Lord. I go, Lord, this is for so-and-so. I'm great. Then the next day, I go into my normal pattern, right? And I'm waiting for lunch. I can't wait till I have lunch. I'm awful. I get people call me, and I was like, I got to eat lunch. I got to have lunch. I need it. Because what? My flesh is telling me to feed me, right? Feed me. Go ahead. Just try that. Do it for a day. Do it for 2 days. Three, right? Your flesh starts to say, I want it. I got to have it, right? You've had anyone here that's gone through alcohol? All right? Prime example. The pull is awful, okay? Smoking, I'm sure some have tried to do that. Again, the pull is awful. The battle is not the cigarette. It's not the alcohol. The battle is that flesh, okay? And again, I'll go back to the beginning of what we talked about when you're dealing with the convert. The reason why the battle is going on here is because we don't believe in Jesus, okay, and we're having a problem, all right? And you're going to say, well, I don't maybe see the connection here yet. Hopefully we'll get there, all right? I hope we'll get there. All right. One of the things with temptations, I don't want to go too much, but anyhow, Satan, an adversary that roams around, right, like a lion, right? Best thing I could come up with is this little illustration here. I love illustrations, but anyways. You have Satan, and he's looking out there, and by the way, anyone here that likes, or let me know, that likes, love. Anybody here love steak? Steak. How many here? Raise your hands. If you could. Okay. Good number. Love. You love steak. You just, if you're going to go out, love steak, prime rib, porterhouse, what else is there, whatever. Okay, there's a few. Okay, so there's a few. I'm going to write your names down in a minute. This is tough. This is tough. And by the way, if I lose a few fingers, okay. It worked at home. Satan sets his trap. All right, Satan sets his trap, and for some of the young folks out there, you don't even know this. See, some of us older folks have been, the traps have been set for us many a times, and we've learned the hard way sometimes. The trap has been set, but Satan's out there as a roaming lion, and he's setting his trap, and he's finding out. And right now, I've got a little idea who likes steak out there. Okay, and I'm going to. I'm going to set this. Okay. This is what I'm going to do. Ooh, okay. But I'm going to set that, and I'm going to find a spot. Right? When you go for a mouse, do you put this in the open? No, don't put it in the open. I find a nice little spot that I'm going to put this, and I'm going to put this out here because I know what that mouse likes. Well, I know Okay, except I'm saying, I know what you like. And I know what's going to bring you down. I know what you can't tolerate in your flesh. And I'm going to find it. Okay? And I'm going to set that trap. And it might be meat. It might be women. It might be alcohol. It might be cigarettes. It might be a job. It could be a lot of stuff. Money. Okay? If it's money, you might work hard for it. You might steal for it. What is it? Understand, those aren't the problem. And okay, if I could try to help understand here. Those things, this meat isn't the problem. The problem is I have a problem in my flesh. Okay? I'm loving things more than I should. Okay? I need it. It's in the flesh. Lust of the eyes is I look on it. Pride of life, I want it. I want to feel I'm important. Okay? That can happen in the workplace. That can happen in church. Those that sometimes, people that want to get into ministry can do the same thing, you know. I want to be important. I want to feel like I'm doing something. I want to, all right, and you get the same thing because you want something and you're trying to get gratification out of it. It's a satisfaction, all right. So that's what that's part of a little scenario of some of the temptations that we have. You can mark some of that down, that it's a trap that Satan sets to bring you down. God is not going to bring you down. God wants to raise you up. Okay? His purpose is to make you like Christ. His purpose is in the end to exalt you in heaven with Christ, because you're already seated with him if you're a saved child of God. All right? He wants you to be like him when you go to be with him at some point. All right? Pride of life in here, okay, it says here that Eve fell to the temptation to be desired to make one wise. The pride of life, wise. The pride of life has to do with the ownership question. Who owns me, God or myself? That's really good. Who owns you? You know, I own myself. I'm going to do my own thing. Who owns you? How does God look at my sin? All right. If we look at Isaiah 53, if you go to Isaiah 53 for me. And I think we're doing okay here. Got up 15 minutes or so. But Isaiah 53. Okay, in Isaiah 53, if we look at starting with verses, let me do verse 3, and I'll read on. Okay, if you're there, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastened for our peace. And upon him and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It's really a good verse to bring to some of the converts. Understand that this was prophesied, okay, that we were going to have a Savior that was going to take upon him our sins. Every stripe that he took, they need to understand that. Every stripe that he took, every pierce, every blood, was drip was for him. Okay? It's very important that they understand. It's not that there was a price for that salvation. Right? We also see in 1 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he hath made him to be sin for us. Mark also down, if you want to mark on your sheet, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Quite clear. All right? If you continue to sin, God will chasten you sooner or later. Sometimes people get away with things for a short period of time. The convert needs to know that they might have a 3-month period of time. They might have a year. They might have a day. We don't know God's timetable. But God will chasten his children. And that means to beat, discipline, okay, harshly, if he has to pull you in. Okay? It's to restrain you so that you are, so that you're more like Christ. All right? That's the whole gear here. I think you need to, with a convert, you need to explain that that person is being transformed into the image of Jesus. And what did Jesus do on the cross? We just talked about it in Isaiah 53. All right? We're being transformed into that, that we will give of our lives to be beaten, pierced, stabbed, whatever it might be. Are we willing to do that? But that's what it takes, okay? God will allow you to reap according to what you have sown. I think we've used that one often. You reap what you sow. If you sow corn, you get corn, okay? If you sow anger, you're going to get anger, okay? If you steal, guess what? You're going to get stolen. Things you're going to get stolen. I've seen a lot of these opposite, or a lot of these things. If you're doing something, guess what? Say, you know, God's sending the devourer behind the other side, and he's doing the same thing. You ever wonder why sometimes if a person's not tithing and he won't tithe, and he wonders how come he never has enough money? It's awesome when you think about the aspects of it. You want to waste your money? That's fine. He sends the devourer. You waste your money. Okay. It's what you sow is what you reap. It's going to happen. All right. They need to understand that aspect of it. You take the drink of beer. You do these types of things. You're going to take those things. You're going to reap the result of it if you continue in it and be destroyed. Okay. All right. So what things can I do to overcome sin? All right. And that's what we'll spend these last moments on here. One thing I want to do, if you can bear with me, and that's not in this piece, but I'd like you to write it down. Because this is, I think, is really, really important to the new convert. When they've come to know Christ, they were certainly saved from, granted them to be able to go to heaven, so they know that. But it also gave them the power to be free from these things. So they might know what sin is, they understand that, but they're free from it. Here's what you have. They are free from sin, and Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 6, verses 7, 11, 18, and 22. And could you turn there for me? Okay. Now, I'm not going to go through all these verses. You can do this when you go home. But this is important. Because sometimes we battle it and we just sort of think, well, I'm just battling sin. I'll get over it or whatever. But here's this on Romans chapter 6 or 7. I'm sorry, did I write 7? Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see that? If you have your Bibles, you see that? Freed from sin. You also have Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. You go again to 18. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Free from sin. Then it goes back again in 22. But now, being now free from sin, we become servants to God. The Bible teaches us without a doubt, and this is the truth that we need to set in our minds, you've accepted Christ, you are free from sin. And what was sin? We go back to the beginning. I shared with you 16, chapter of John, 16, verse 7. Sin was not believing on Jesus Christ. Now, that might be a little awesome for you to think about, and this might be something that you're not, maybe you've never tied this together. But it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You have a sin problem. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be delivered. Guaranteed. Bible says it. Thing is now is, do you believe it? You've been free. You have been free from sin. You just have to believe it. Now, what do I have to believe? I'm freed from sin? No, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to teach the convert to start believing on the Lord. Start walking by faith. Believe on what the Lord tells you in the Word. For what? So that I begin to work righteous works. What are some of the righteous works? Love. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, right? Faith, meekness, temperance. How many of you see they're not temperate? Okay? No self-control whatsoever. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. They're allowing the flesh to take over. All right? So we're free from sin. Write this down also on your notes. John verses John 8, 31. 32, 36. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, 36. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Many of you memorized that, right? The truth will set you free. The Bible says it in another area. Okay. Now another, which is Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I think last week or so, Pastor Cole gave him an illustration one time about gravity. And we all know about gravity. Gravity does what? Pulls you down, right? I mean, it pulls you down this way, right? And so he knows, he figured this one week, he had the pen, he says, he could do that 1,000 times the pen falls. Would you agree with that? All right? That's a law. Physics, there's physics, we were talking this afternoon on this, the aerodynamics. There's a law of aerodynamics, there's a law of thermodynamics, there's all these laws, they're consistent. It will happen, right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. I'm just giving you some hints. This is scriptural. We don't have to sin. We choose to sin because we won't acknowledge it is sin. We have to acknowledge it's sin. And where does it start? It starts in the heart. Convert needs to know it starts in the heart. They're not believing on Jesus Christ. They're allowing the flesh to take over. All right? And they can be free. There may be some even in this room, and I got to say probably a few years ago or so, I had some doubts. Could I be free? I honestly in my mind said, could I be free? Because why do I continue to keep doing some of the stuff that I keep doing? And then I'm supposed to tell somebody else? And I've got to believe there's got to be some of you that are thinking the same thing. But the Bible is clear. If you take these verses, you are free from sin. The problem is in the heart. The problem is that we have to make sure with our converts is they have to start believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing what he did for them. He died for them. Take them to some of these verses, all right? Some other things in here, and I'll just be finishing up here. I think I got, a couple more minutes here? I guess I'm kind of watching the time. Don't allow sinful thoughts to control your mind. Now, I'm on page 2 right now. Don't allow thoughts to control your mind. Change the way you think. That's how you're going to change behavior. And on Philippians, make this little note as well. Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. I know my wife has this on her little sewing board. I noticed it was on her sewing board, and I do. And I have it on my stuff as well. Because you know what? Our mind takes us down a road that we don't want to go down. Woe is me. Oh, it's all me. Okay? And we get in this little pity thing or whatever it might be. That's sin. Okay? It's sin. What do? Think on the right things. Paul says, think on these things. What's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Okay? Those are all good things. Think on those things. What are you watching? All that kind of stuff. All right? That's how you're going to overcome overcome this sin. All right? Don't make provision for the flesh. How many here sometimes make provision for the flesh? All right? One of the things I've often this is I'm very careful of. I haven't had anything to drink in many, many, many years. I don't go places where there's a lot of alcohol. Because I can tell you very, very honestly, that scares me to death because I still think I have a taste for it. Isn't that awful? That's the truth. But the truth is, why would I go someplace that's going to tempt me, that I might do something that I'm going to regret? Right? Or my testimony. Right? So you don't go where the enemy's going to be, where he's going to put this out. Movies. If movies make you do bad things after you've seen them, I'm just sharing with you. I'm not, please. I hope I'm not insulting anybody here in any way, but we're going to deal with converts that have some really ugly stuff. And if you haven't dealt with it, you will with some folks that they need help. And we're trying to find ways, how can we help them? And the Word of God is the only thing that they have, okay? The world isn't able to help them. So again, don't make provision for the flesh. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or for the lusts or our affections. It says, mortify the flesh. In Colossians chapter 3, mortify the flesh. What does mortify mean? Kill, right? Mutilate? Try not. Kill. All right? You got to kill it. You're playing with it. You ever see a cat play with a yarn of ball or play with a, have you ever seen it play with it before it does, or a mouse? I think I've seen them play with it before they kill it. You know? You can't do it. You're not going to win the battle. And you have to, the convert needs to understand they have to just separate from it. All right. Judge your sin. We know that when we come to the Lord's Supper, says to judge our sin. And sometimes I honestly believe, and again, I it's only my, it's my belief in reading the scriptures, and I'll hold to it, that I think a lot of sickness is coming down because we profess Christ, we take of the Lord's Supper, and guess what? We get sick. A lot of sickness is from the fact that we're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're acting it out like we are. And there's a lot of sickness because of it. And I'm not saying it's all, but I have seen a pattern, and I think it's one of those things, again, we make provision for the flesh, we do certain things, and God says, judge it, and you will not be judged. All right? We won't be chastened. All right? I mean, it's pretty clear. All right? Again, we're looking at how to help the converts, how to help them overcome their sins, okay, so that they can have a successful, victorious walk with Christ. Confess your sin to God. We know that. I think many of us here have that one. Confess your sin. Okay? He's faithful and just to forgive us. And don't forget the last part of that. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's always quote the beginning. Confess your sins, for he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And cleanse you from all your righteousness. It's easier for you to clean yourself. This is something that we had learned earlier. It's easier for you to clean yourself after you've sinned first than to let it pass and then try to clean up your mess later. If you've done something and you know it's wrong, get on your knees, ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I don't want to do this. Forgive me, Lord, because it's wrong, because you said it's wrong, and I don't want to do this. I'm asking for your help. And you confess it. You've cleaned it. He's cleaning you of unrighteousness. He's going to help you. Guaranteed. He's going to help you get through it. But if you just walk away like as if it meant nothing to you, you say, oh, well, that was it. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry I did it. All right? You're not going to cleanse yourself. You will do it again. You're going to do it again. And the deceitfulness of sin is going to harden them. Okay? Guaranteed. So we have to teach a convert that they need to confess their sin right away, immediately after they've done it. All right? Then the other is to hide God's word in your heart. Because the battle is in the heart, you need to hide it in your heart. One of the things I noticed that was not on here, and I didn't see it in here, but it's part of it, and I'm going to put it into this section, prayer. Another thing that we need to tell the convert is they need to get on their knees. I'm going to tell you right now, you could do all these other things, and these are not formulas.